The Steve Cochran Show.
From this incident, we see potential policy and training violations. I have tasked this team with taking a hard look at. In that particular district, they had had those cameras maybe about a week. When you factor in officers' days off, those officers might have had about 4 days to try to get familiar. Whenever we introduce new equipment and new technology, there's going to be a learning curve. And that's not just for the police, but that would be for anyone.
Superintendent Eddie Johnson talking about the shooting death of Paul O'Neill, the 18-year-old who was driving a stolen car, engaged in a police chase, actually rammed a police car, and then was shot in the back, presumably when police fired at the car as it was driving away. All of that investigation continues. Reverend Gregory Livingston is an advocate for the public good and the public interest, and we've had the Reverend on before. We'll have him on again. At G.S. Livingston on Twitter. GregoryLivingston.com is the website, and a founder of the CEO for the Coalition for a New Chicago. Good morning, Reverend. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Steve. Pleasure to be with you always.
Thanks for being on again. What's your response, or what are your thoughts about how the city responded to this?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that I've been working on and talking with other people about is the whole idea of compliance. Is why there seems to be this whole idea of noncompliance with Chicago police officers, you know, which create a whole another level of problems, you know, in terms of the community against the police. I was watching something the other day where someone just reached out and grabbed one of the cops by his vest. And that's something that you or I see going on. We never would have done that.
Right.
And if the police told us to stand still, we would have stood there and just stand, you know, still. We wouldn't have moved, right? Or if I was going to run away from the police, I would have looked for an opportunity and cut out, you know,
right.
Or something like that. But, you know, I just wanted to bring that up real quick. And in terms of the city's response, you know, it's not an either or, it's a both and piece. And the police have to do something. The community has to do something because this thing is escalating. It's getting out of control and it's turning into a real for lack of a better term, civil war, you know, in our city and really around the country. And to listen to the superintendent's remarks about the equipment and things of that nature, what happens with the equipment is really symptomatic. There's a much deeper problem that really has to be addressed. And we don't need to put a Band-Aid on this problem. Like you and I were talking before, you know, political correctness is not going to solve this issue. We have to really get down to the root, you know, really dig in and pull this thing by its roots, because if not, it's not going to get any better.
Well, and the camera thing, I would just say to the city, and I don't know the rules of you know, when it had to be instituted, because I believe the city made the decision. But if cops aren't ready or trained up on wearing them, then don't put them on. Because exactly. What happens is if they don't function properly during an incident, then the conspiracy theorist can very easily say, well, the cops shut them off, or the cops, because there's reason to believe that that's part of the problem. That training certainly goes to the more important part of this story, which is if there's a hard and fast rule about when you shoot at a car and the car is driving away and shots are fired, in real time, that can be a very problematic situation. And as you know, I made a strong argument yesterday, which I stand behind, that this situation was started by the criminal actions of Paul O'Neill. But if there are rules that were broken and laws that were broken, the police need to be held to account. So by that measure, the city's responded quickly. But have they been fair to the cops in this case? I don't know, to be honest with you, Reverend.
Well, to be honest with you, Steve, and I may take some flack for saying this from some sides of the activist community. You know, first of all, you know, a car became a dangerous weapon. And I have to be straight up with you. If I were the police officer, and put yourself in the police officer's shoes, right, and a guy rams a car with a car and he's coming at you, I mean, everything is happening, man, like at lightning speed. And the other thing is the cops are just not trying to protect themselves.
Right.
They also have the responsibility of protecting the community. Anybody's child could run out in the street. Anyone, please, you know. And so when one puts oneself out like that, I mean, a car speeding, you're trying to stop this person. So I think that it's a bit parochial, provincial, narrow-minded to say that, you know, he got shot in the back. You know, and again, I don't know all the facts. I don't have, you know, all the videos, if I can say that. But I do know that if someone is barreling down the street, you've rammed a car, rammed another car, and as though, you know, that's a dangerous situation that requires some extreme actions as well.
See, that's why we like Reverend Livingston, because he's fair-minded and he sees that we're never going to get the solutions on any of this unless you consider the problem as a whole.
Reverend, what do you think about the body cameras and releasing the video? Do you think that incites or do you think that provides answers?
I think that we've allowed things to get out of hand, to be very honest with you. You know, law enforcement, Chicago police officers are professionals. I mean, they're one of the best of the best in the entire world. And so I'm not a law enforcement professional, not even close to it. I like to think that I have some level of skill in what I do, but I'm not a law enforcement professional. I'm not a professional ball player. I'm not a surgeon. You know, I'm not a mechanic.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I respect those individuals. You know, Steve, I mean, Steve, you and Andre and guys, you guys are pros at what you do. I respect that. I mean, it takes work, practice, and everything else, you know, learning, training to do what we all do in this world. And so, a lot of times when we try to make judgments on things and we don't have the background and the training, just a quick, for instance, by way of contrast, you know, when Van Dyke shot Laquan McDonald,
right.
Well, use of force policy in Chicago is that if an individual is a lethal threat, well, you have to keep shooting at that individual until the threat is terminated. That's what they're taught in the academy. They keep shooting until the threat is terminated and that individual is no longer a threat. Well, Van Dyke shoots Laquan twice. He's on the ground. Okay, so let's not even talk about the right or wrong of that. But the wrong comes in really when he then stands over him and shoots him 14 more times. Well, he was no longer a threat, you know, and that was like a common sense call, in my opinion, right there. But in other instances, you know, this thing has gotten out of hand that, you know, professionals look at this, and I got to be very honest with you, that we have to call people on the carpet. Now, those that are in charge, those that have taken take responsibility, those that have to be accountable, we have to continue calling them on the carpet. That's what our job is as citizens, to say we have to be represented correctly and fairly, and if there seems to be something that doesn't smell right, we're going to call you to the carpet on that, too, and we want a full explanation. But we're not the ones that, in my opinion, that need to be watching all the videos and making decisions.
Amen.
That's something that's done by the professionals and the courts.
Amen.
Because if we allow it to get out of hand, there's going to be nothing in this city. There's going to be absolutely nothing, because it's going to be like, what's the old film, Warriors.
Yeah. It's going to be like Detroit 5 years ago. It's going to be at its worst. Here's the ultimate truth in what you're talking about. And this is why I'm so upset with the way the media rushes to put these videos out as soon as they get them. Why? Because they're ratings and they're online instantly and everything else. Sure. We weren't there. We don't know.
No.
We don't know. We weren't there. And what you were talking about before is absolutely true. In a real-time law enforcement situation, when the car is rammed into you and then turns around and goes away, if one of the cops fires, it's a fair assumption by the other police that that shot could have come from the vehicle, and then other cops may have shot as well. All of that has to be looked at and taken into consideration. But one of the things I brought up yesterday, and you certainly referenced this early on, with these videos, they amp up both sides. So it amps up the African-American community or the community of color that is victimized by this all the time. But it also amps up the people that go, this is, you know, the armchair racist. You know, this is what they do. And, you know, pronouns like that or using language like that. And then both sides get farther apart and nobody gets closer together.
You know what the average civilian does when gunfire starts? Man, they scram, man.
I mean,
people are frightened, they're scared. Whereas the law enforcement professional is taught, you know, and trained, hopefully, you know, they're the ones that have to, you know, deal with that, you know, find cover or deal with it directly, however it might go. They're the ones that have to put their lives on the line. And we have to remember, it's not like television where you can, you know, wing a guy, you know, just wing him and slow him down or something like that.
Right.
This isn't Annie Get Your Gun marksmanship. I mean, this is a whole nother world, you know, in terms of, as you say, you know, real-time, you know, action in that instance. And you have someone who has a gun, and you have a gun, or they may have a gun, or they exhibit a behavior that says, okay, this person is dangerous, and they may be armed or unarmed. but they have exhibited dangerous behavior. And see, and the reason I'm talking like this, because I'm not supposed to be talking like this, Steve, is that, you know, this I'm tired. You know, this is just too much, and there has to be some real order put in place in order for this to be, you know, tamped down. You know, school is about to start.
Right.
School is about to start, and the kids are going to be going back and forth to school, young children in traffic and everything else. And my gosh, if we don't do something about this, and I'm not trying to be the harbinger of tragic or tragedy, but it's not going to get any better, you know, God forbid.
I would almost argue that they should wait to release the videos, or not release them at all, or wait until the investigation's complete, because I think that the videos are so subjective. One person watching sees an officer almost being hit by a car. Another person watching sees an unarmed man being shot. It's so subjective.
And it just lights a fire.
Yeah.
It just lights a fire and makes it worse.
If your doctor released your test results and x-rays
right.
to your family before you talk to him, talk to you about it. You
know, I mean, it's a great analogy.
Kind of professional discussion, you know, about this, because I'm not equipped to talk about my test results and my x-rays or whatever. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. Stuff.
I need someone who does this, you know, to really to go over this and to take care of it. And then say, no, this is what you're looking at. This is what you're seeing, you know. Now, we understand if there are bad cops, and people would tell me, you know, look, the black community has always have to deal with the cops. That's just part of American DNA in terms of black folks, slavery, and everything else. So this is really nothing new. But technology has allowed us various things. We cannot allow technology to be exploited, and thereby, as you just said, you know, just angering the masses on both sides of the argument. You know, none of this is really new at one level, but the thing is that we cannot allow it to get out of hand, because individuals have to have enough leadership and enough spine to say, no, we're not going to do that. We have to do it this way.
But see, here's the thing that and please correct me if I'm wrong, but the thing that frustrates me as well is you're out there and you're speaking fairly and about this and how to solve it. There has to be somebody that steps up like you and addresses the fact that Paul O'Neill was involved in a criminal situation, and he amped this situation up. It's a stolen car, which amped this whole situation up, which can lead to this terrible ending. It's terrible that this kid is dead. But if he doesn't steal the car and he doesn't try to run the cops over with it, then maybe it doesn't get that bad. I'm not saying the cops did the right thing. So settle down if you're going down that road. But I'm saying we have to recognize that this was not some innocent kid, black, brown, white, yellow, whatever color, walking down the street, minding his business, that was shot in the back. The cops were in the middle of doing their job.
You know, let's not disparage our humanity by saying because of lack, you know, that we do bad things. You know, we do bad things whether we're poor or whether we're rich. You know, that's a human condition.
That's a character thing.
Without a doubt, you know, and black communities of color, however you want to talk about them, have always had a lack of resources. But I'll tell you what, you know, the police wouldn't have had to shot me had I stolen the car. They just would defy my mother, defy my father.
Yep.
And they would have killed me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, I mean, I got to be straight, man, because this thing is just crazy that, you know, people have always done, you know, bad things and good things, right? But you know, there has to be some real parenting here, man. And again, I'll get swung on for that, but that's okay, you know, because things have to change, you know, and it has to change at its root. You know, it has to change in the home, if I can use this word, the young people's side, if I can say that, and it has to change in terms of leadership on the civic side, on the government.
No
side.
Doubt about
you
it.
You got to stand up, have some spine, risk not being reelected.
Yeah,
you
know, the city's got to tell the truth. Right. The cops have to tell the truth. The communities have to tell the truth. That's the only way we're going to get to this. Because meanwhile, on the other side of town, you got a little Tavon Tanner who gets shot in the back, sitting on the front porch with his family last night. That's what we ought to be really, really upset about. And, you know, that story's going to go away with the news cycle in 6 hours.
Steve, I did a funeral once of a young man who was robbing a 7-Eleven store. It was in the 90s, I think. And he was shot and killed by the owner of the 7-Eleven store. So the parents, the family came to me and said, please don't mention what happened or how it is that he got killed. And they basically, you know, and so when I was sitting there waiting to eulogize the young man, I saw, you know, young children walking by his casket looking at him. And I couldn't do that. And I got up and I told them, I said, look, young people, if you don't want to end up like this, here's X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. Well, thankfully, at the end of the funeral, afterwards, you know, the parents, other folk thanked me because that young man's death was not in vain, totally in vain. And these young people got a real life to say, this is what happens if you do this X, Y, Z. If you try to take something from someone who has worked hard for, who's put in the blood, sweat, toil, and tears. And so, like you said, the truth has to be told on all sides, and the truth has to be executed, as it were, too, because, you know, it is the lack of truthful execution of the various things that we do. Yeah, we got a lot of problems. There's a lot of reasons, you know, schools are different in different parts of the city. You know, different parts of the city are resourced otherwise, and we have to have a real, you know, Chicago, I think, town hall meeting summit and just really lay this thing out. And bring all the parties to the table.
It's a great idea.
That's impossible. No, it's not impossible. That's how we formed this country.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. You know what? We ought to be the leaders in that.
Yeah, without a doubt. You guys could do it. That's right.
We absolutely ought to be the leaders in that.
It has kind of the reach, sure.
Reverend, best place to stay in touch with you for the public is where? Is it through the Coalition for a New Chicago?
And my Twitter handle, Twitter at GS Livingston, at GSLIVINGSTON. You know, I think it works for Donald Trump, so it really works for me, too.
Oh, listen, man, I appreciate
it. No endorsement of Trump, man.
No, absolutely not. Believe me, nobody thinks. I appreciate your honesty and your perspective. God bless you, and hold on.